Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of It Came From Amity. This is Casey, and sitting across from me is Noah Weddle.
We're doing this living room casual style today.
Yeah, I'm like sitting in a little rocker recliner.
Yep. You can lay back if you want.
Yeah.
Lays back.
And I'm afraid if I do, I might start to doze off. Yeah, I've not slept yet, so.
We've got our microphones on our bellies.
Yeah, this is pretty sweet. We used to do something kind of like this.
Yeah, with the hardwired mics.
Yeah. Back when we were still experimenting with doing like videos and stuff like that.
Right. If we ever went to like an investigation or like a hotel, this is how we would do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Bring this portable stuff with us.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, cause I
like it.
I've got my mic clipped to my hoodie. Noah's is laying on his belly. So, yeah, this is actually these are kind of really neat.
And I could lay here and just watch the audio.
Yeah.
So, pretty cool.
So, if some of you may have forgotten, the last episode we did was the basically first half of the presentation of the LA shootout. So to kind of recap, the two suspects had tried to leave. They were under siege from law enforcement, had started to try to shoot their way out. Of course, they're in basically full body armor with automatic weapons.
Yeah, they're like super soldiers.
Yeah, at this point, because, I mean, they're faced up against, at this point, SWAT was not what it is now. It was basically
shotguns. You know what it reminds me of? Remember the first Iron Man movie?
Yeah.
When the guy was in the Nemesis was in the full metal armor.
Yep.
And that was practical. They actually put him in that. He could only be in it for an hour a day.
Oh, my God.
But it reminds me of that, where he's just like a titan, basically.
Yeah.
Just looked like a walking robot gun.
And that's kind of what these guys were. You know, they had... I think they said like level 2 or level 3 body armor, basically.
Yep.
And some of it was homemade.
Enough to withstand grenade blasts.
Well, they were able to withstand rifle rounds, but when SWAT went into a sporting or a gun shop and started to get ARs with higher caliber rounds, is when these guys started to realize.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought you had said that they threw grenades at them. But
no.
Okay.
No, they never did.
Maybe I just put that in there.
I think there was like a case, and it wasn't.
I don't think the cops would throw a grenade out on the street either.
Well, and law enforcement really doesn't typically carry frag grenades.
Yeah.
No, they'll carry
SWAT like. SWAT would, though.
Not really, no, because there's too much collateral damage.
Yeah, in the middle of downtown Hollywood.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, they will carry things like flash grenades and concussion grenades. They will carry stuff like that.
You mean they don't carry Molotovs?
I mean, I guess you could.
That'd be insane.
Oh, my God.
Kill more civilians than anything.
Well, yeah, and then especially like, because, I mean, alcohol carries the flame.
Yeah. So
as it spreads, the fire just keeps
going. Yeah, they'd be burning down buildings and...
That would be one pissed off fire department. Like, what'd you guys do?
Yeah.
Well, we had the suspect. Or
it's like in a video game where he goes to throw the Molotov and the guy shoots it out of his hand and blows him up.
Yeah.
That could happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure it could. I guarantee it has.
As soon as those things catch fire, it's like instant.
Oh, yeah.
What are they made out of? Do you know?
Usually it's alcohol.
Just alcohol.
Usually.
Pure alcohol.
Usually it'd be like the name Molotov. I mean, it originated in Russia, and they would use vodka.
Yeah.
You can use
but a higher concentrate.
Well, not necessarily. I mean,
yeah.
Because I mean, it was like whatever. It's a guerrilla weapon, so it's like whatever you have.
Yeah. Okay.
But you can also use gasoline, kerosene. You can use acetone, whatever you got, as long as it's flammable and it can soak
a rag. Paint thinner.
Paint thinner, absolutely. If it can soak a rag, and you're good to go.
Okay.
When the SWAT realized that their weapons were no match for what these guys had, they went to the local gun shop and started to basically borrow these AR-15s. And that's when the suspects started to get wounded themselves. And to kind of describe that,
So it wasn't instant. They were just chipping away at their armor with it.
Well, there was some penetration, and I think one of them was hit, because what usually with body armor, it depending on how it's made and the kind you wear, especially at modern day, a lot of it just protects your front and your back.
Yeah.
Very rare do you have full body armor that protects your flank. Matter of fact, in the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, you had the soldiers and Marines who had front and back plates, and the insurgents would intentionally shoot for the side because there was no protection there. Which now they make body armor that actually has side protection.
Right.
But it's not, it's still not to the extent that the front and back has. Because there's no way to really have that.
Yeah.
The Larry Phillips, he actually ended up committing suicide. He shot himself in the head. And then Emil, whose last name that we never got right, was shot 29 times in both legs and died from exsanguination, which is bleeding to death.
Blood loss.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Because here's something.
29 times.
That a lot of people don't like. Okay. So, and this is a good example of why. Okay. So, you know, like when something happens and, you know, a cop shoots somebody and they're like, "What didn't you just aim for the legs?" This is the reason why cops
don't. Because it won't stop them.
Well, A, yes, it typically will not stop the threat.
Yeah.
And B, getting shot in the leg is not less lethal than getting shot like in the chest or the abdomen.
Yeah.
Because
if you hit an artery, especially,
there is a massive artery that runs down your leg called the femoral artery.
Yeah.
And if that artery is severed, you can bleed out in a matter of minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm talking like 2-3 minutes because it is a big, big artery.
And then if they just, if a cop was being shot at, and they just shot somebody in like the shin, that person would have adrenaline going. They probably wouldn't stop because of that.
Yeah. I mean, if you're aiming for like the lower leg, you're probably not going to bleed out.
Yeah. You have to shoot them somewhere initially where it's going to stop them.
Right.
And an organ. You have to hit an organ, basically.
Yeah. I mean, and like, there was, it's probably been about 15, maybe 18 years ago, there was a case in, I think it was Cleveland, Ohio. It might have been Cincinnati. But where they had this great big man who was hot. I think he was on
PCP or something.
I think it was PCP. Probably. And they were shooting him. They shot him like 18 times before he fell.
It's like the guy that was eating that dude's face where they just kept firing into him and he kept doing it.
Yeah, because, I mean, especially drugs like that. It creates a monster.
Right.
That is literally, that really isn't aware of pain.
Some people get shot and they don't even feel it.
No. And that's the thing is, like, getting hit in some organs is not an instant stop. Like, getting hit in your stomach is not going to instantly kill you.
No.
Getting hit in your spleen or your liver is not going to instantly kill you. The two organs getting hit that will instantly kill you would be the brain and the heart.
Yeah.
Those are the two organs that are just instant kill shots. And sometimes not even. It just depends. There's factors there. But
throat's pretty instant.
Well, the throat.
It's not an organ, but still.
Again, that depends.
It'll stop you because you can't breathe.
Right.
You know?
Well, yeah, because at that point, you're just choking on your own blood.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's a very painful place to get hit. There's a lot of
nerves,
soft tissue and nerves and vessels and all sorts of. There's a lot of anatomy there that's pretty vital, and it will kill you, but usually because you've either A, you bled out, or B, you choked on your own blood. So those are usually the two scenarios that usually play out with getting shot in the throat, and neither one of them are fast.
That's probably the place I'd like to get shot the least.
Oh yeah.
The throat.
Yeah, because like at least with the femoral, if you get hit in the femoral, I mean, you got a couple minutes.
Yeah.
And so you're not going to suffer too awful long. But so yeah, when people sit on Facebook, go, "Why didn't you shoot him in the leg? Why didn't you?" That's why you don't shoot people in the leg, because that's no less lethal. Especially if it's an upper leg shot. Like
either it gets you killed or it kills them. There's no in between there.
Exactly. You know? And like we said in the first half of this particular series, is that this episode here change the way that law enforcement responds, like active shooters, the way they respond to high-risk type of situations where you've got guys who maybe have body armor, who have high-powered rifles and stuff like that. Because back then, the standard issue for even SWAT was like the Bredon 9mm and a shotgun.
Yeah.
That was the same loadout for patrol officers. So they might have a 38 special or 357, and then they have a shotgun usually in the trunk or like sitting in the shotgun seat of the yeah. squad car. None of them were ever armed with AR-15s or any kind of comparable weapon with high power ammunition. It just wasn't a thing. It wasn't conceived.
It was like old school before this. It was like old school B cop with the revolver and
yeah.
Because they weren't prepared for stuff like this.
Yeah, the revolvers were starting to become phased out, and usually it was the older guys who were holding on to them as kind of almost like nostalgia. And the newer guys were arming themselves with the Berettas, which now they're hardly ever used anymore.
Yeah.
Most law enforcement, they go with like SIGs.
Glocks.
They'll go with Glock. Yeah, Glock's a popular one. SIG is a popular one. If you're a cop that has a lot of money to throw around, you could buy an FN. But yeah, those are the typical ones. And just because they're better sidearms for what you're going to pay the money for. Mm-hmm. And it also depends if
more accurate too.
Right. And yeah, cause Berettas are okay, but Glocks are better out of the
box. Way faster to reload too.
Yep. And the Berettas are, I can't remember how many rounds they hold in a magazine, but Glock will hold more. Yeah. I know. I want
to. You don't have to sit there and put them in the barrel. Like,
well, that was with the Smith & Wesson revolver.
Yeah. That's what took forever.
Well, yeah. And like, even with the speed loaders that law enforcement would wear, you still got to open the cylinder up.
Yeah.
Turn, you know, and hit the ejector and it would dump the spent shells. And then you would put the speed loader in, turn the knob to release and pull that out and throw the cylinder back in into battery and you'd be good to go. But it
still took forever.
Yeah. It's a big process as opposed to hitting a button, dropping the mag, putting a new mag in and hitting the slide release and you're ready to shoot again.
Yeah.
So there's the big difference. So now and nowadays, and even with some squad cars and patrol units are armed with AR-15s. There was an active shooter case here about 3 months ago, maybe not even that long ago. Yeah, it was probably about 3 months ago. There was an active shooter. He was standing in the middle of the road, a guy in an SUV who was a squad. He was a patrol officer. He was also a veteran in the military. He just throws the vehicle in park, gets out of the SUV, opens up the hatch of the SUV, opens up his go bag, pops out an AR, racks around in there, literally puts the rifle, kind of mounts it up onto the car, onto the side of it, takes one shot and drops him.
Where was this?
I cannot remember.
It wasn't local.
No.
Okay.
I had the video saved for a while on my phone. I'm sure I still do. But I mean, it took one shot. He just one shot and dropped the active shooter. But that's kind of what changed. After that, the government actually started issuing.
That's the thing. Active shooters they don't pay attention to their surroundings because they're just adrenalized and they're worried about getting as many kills as they can. Yeah. They're not looking for somebody else who's going to take them out.
Usually. And that's kind of the thing too, is like when it's a mass shooter and they're just looking to cause as much damage, like that is their goal. They're not looking to escape from a robbery.
They're not tactical at all.
No.
If you saw the guys from Columbine, there was no tactical, like they were just roaming around.
Yeah.
Taking cover.
Because they didn't have to.
Yeah.
Everything was.
Nowadays, there's always going to be somebody in the vicinity that's going to try to take you out if you're lucky, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Cause like a lot of schools now have, what they call school resource officers.
Yeah. We witnessed it firsthand in the mall this summer, We witnessed it firsthand in the mall this summer
shot
back.
Yeah. That was literally he was a 21 year old kid.
So,
who had just started carrying a gun that month. Because July 1st, Indiana turned into a permitless carry state.
Right.
And that guy started literally carrying that month. And so there he is at the Green Park Mall, and he downs that guy. So pretty impressive. I mean, and I think he landed all but one shot that he fired, too.
8 out of 10.
Pretty freaking impressive.
8 out of 10. 80%.
So, and
at 135 feet away.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty remarkable.
Yeah. Too.
And especially under duress, because you know adrenaline had to just be pumping. But anyway, so... So the federal government actually ended up giving some surplus equipment to the Los Angeles Police Department for the SWAT. They outfitted them with newer model automatic pistols and AR-15. Well, actually, I think they ended up getting Colt M4 carbines, I remember right. And as a result, Colt actually started making M4 carbines specifically for law enforcement. Although I don't know if they still make them. I know they did there for a long time, but I don't know if they still make them.
Of course, nobody else can own it except for active law enforcement, right?
Yes, because it was slut fire.
So no, it's illegal for anybody else to own it.
Correct, because it was because that gun was created after the NFA.
Yeah.
So after that Firearms Act, which I think was like signed in law in like 86. So anything produced after 86 or patented after 86 would not be available to civilian use.
Okay.
So this gun here, which has select fire, and that patent was after 1986, therefore that is not for civilians. Okay. However, there is a civilian version of that gun. Like I said, I don't know if Colt still makes it or not. I'm not familiar up to date on their inventory, but I know that back in the day they did have a civilian version where it was just semi-auto.
Okay.
Same parameters as far as length and stuff like that. Everything was the same except for the slut fire. That was the only difference.
The ice is breaking and falling off my building. Yeah. That's what that is.
I think so too.
It scared the crap out of me though.
So after that event, and of course, a lot of other police departments started a model LA after that, where they were outfitting law enforcement with like MP5 submachine guns, and they were going to like M4 carbines for their SWAT. And these law enforcement agencies became more and more militarized.
Yeah.
Especially as a lot of military gear became surplus, and there was a federal program to allow law enforcement to get surplus equipment, which is a program that's still in effect today. So there is actually a museum in LA for their police department, and there is a small section in that museum about the LA shootout. They actually have the suspect's car in that exhibit. They have one of the squad cars, I think, in the exhibit, and they have reproductions of the outfits,
the armor,
and the armor from the two suspects.
That's awesome.
They're not the authentic stuff because obviously they're tattered and bloodstained and stuff like
that.
Or
it's in evidence still and stuff.
I'm sure. And at this point, destroyed.
Yeah.
But the stuff that's on the mannequins in that exhibit are as true as they can make it.
Yeah.
And they even have it down to where they have the watch stitched into the glove and stuff like that.
That's cool.
So there's all kinds of – so you, if you were ever go to the L.A. Police Department Museum, that is still there. And I don't think there's any plans to ever remove it. So
it's probably the biggest thing to happen there besides like the Rodney King beating.
Yeah.
Right.
But
probably is.
I mean, LA was a pretty prolific police department in the 90s. They were in the news a lot with.
They also had a bunch of gangs and mafia bosses and stuff.
Gangs, drugs. Back in the 90s, there was the crime epidemic there.
OJ,
Rodney King. I mean, just all that stuff. LA police department seemed to always be in the news.
Yeah.
In the 90s. 80s and 90s.
I mean, a big city with a big diverse population, that's just normal. Yeah. They're going to be in the news.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of the aftermath. Like I
Plus,
said,
they were corrupt.
there was some corruption
back in the 50s and 60s, like the golden age of Hollywood. They were so corrupt.
Oh yeah. So that's kind of the aftermath. I mean, there wasn't really a lot that we really had left to talk about as far as the, those kinds of details. Because, we actually spoke in quite a bit of depth in the first episode.
Yeah. It's going to be a short one today.
But, so here is kind of, there is a TikTok. If you guys are TikTokers and, or scroll TikTok, there is a TikTok page for It Came From Amity. It is active. It's been active now for 3 weeks, I believe.
Are you doing like TikTok dances and stuff on there?
Negative, Ghost Rider.
Oh, okay.
I will usually what is on there is like updates about what's going on.
Yeah.
Future episodes, stuff pertaining to the house.
We have all these big plans that we want to do, and it seems like either the weather gets real crappy, so we can't go do a ghost hunt or something.
Or the schedules don't line up.
The schedule gets messed up, or I get busy with weddings, or Casey gets sick, or I don't feel good. It's like non-freaking-stop, dude. Yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing, too. And then the cool thing is, and I'm sure you guys are aware, like for the last 3 years now, we've talked about going and doing the Pixie of our own investigation. And the nice thing about that particular venue is that my buddy, his mother-in-law is a day manager there. And so we have access whenever we need to have access.
Yeah.
We can get access. We just can't be in the venue at the same time there's a show going on.
Right.
And
they don't always have shows. No, so.
It's hit and miss.
Yeah.
That, of course, we still want to go to Fairland to investigate the plane crash that happened there. Supposedly, that site's haunted. The plan is still go to Step Cemetery. There's all these things on our itinerary that we want to go do. It's just a matter of me and Noah both having free time at the same time to go do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, on TikTok, I've shared updates. I've shared pictures. I've shared, I've reshared videos from other paranormal TikToks. Just cool stuff that I've found. We're still trying to figure out what to do about the whole merchandise thing as far as Teespring's concerned. I do believe that the original store was closed, probably due to inactivity, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
But we're figuring all that out. Also, still looking for your guys' submissions as far as artwork, poetry, short stories, essays, any
kind. If you just have any topics that you want covered that have not been covered, just throw that out there.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are more than welcome to hit us up on TikTok, on Facebook, on YouTube, whether it be our personal pages, the Facebook, or the actual podcast pages, and tell us about a topic that you're interested in and you want us to research and discuss.
And we're not a PhD level podcast. I mean, we do research, but we don't take notes and go crazy. I mean, we literally just glance at it and talk about it. And that's the way we want to keep it because neither one of us have time to be doing doctoral research on stuff.
I mean,
you know,
it's
very laid back.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty laid back research. I mean, I'll write stuff down and my notes on my phone. Like if it's definitely something I want to get right, like a date, a name, I'll have that highlighted in my notes just so I know I got it right.
This is just something for fun we do, and we don't want to be doing extra work, like another full-time job researching stuff.
So. I mean, there are podcasts that do that.
Yeah, but that's all they do.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Some of them, that's all they do.
If you guys are familiar with paranormal podcasting and you guys listen to like a podcast like Astonishing Legends.
Last podcast on the left, he studies everything.
It's nuts. And or That's Why We Drink. Those are three podcasts that I can come up with that the pop of my head, and they do.
But they probably do that full time, so they have plenty of time for it.
And the thing about Astonishing Legends, too, is not only do those two guys do their research and read books and magazines and articles, they have what they call ARC, which is Astonishing Research Corps, and it's volunteers who do these deep dives.
Yeah.
They'll go and
like sleuthing.
Oh, dude, it's not
internet sleuthing.
Like the amount of information, like they found out stuff about the Pied Piper that I never would have thought.
Really?
That episode's really good. If you
listen, Pied Piper was a child molester.
Well, the interesting. Okay, so I'm not going to be able to. My obsessive. Okay, so the thing about the Pied Piper is that there is actual historical evidence that something happened in a small village in Germany, which wasn't Germany back then, where this Pied Piper, which pied actually means like different color clothing.
Yeah.
It's an old English term.
Would it just been like Bavaria or something
like that?
Yeah.
And what happened was, is he did a service for the town. The town refused to pay. And then basically he lured all the kids out of the town and they never came back.
He abducted them all and took them away.
And supposedly where he led them to was a cave outside of that village. And the cave is still, you're not allowed up there. It's actually illegal to go to that cave. There is a church in that town that has a stained glass window commemorating the event that was made. The stained glass window was made like supposedly like 15, 20 years after the event. So there's historical documentation, I guess you could say, and some might say anecdotal at best, that this actually happened.
So he lured the kids out as just revenge to the townspeople for not voting for something that
not
wanted,
paying him.
Or not paying him?
Yeah.
So it was just revenge. He didn't do it out of good deed.
Yeah, total vindictiveness.
Okay.
It was like,
I had heard it was something like that. I just wasn't sure.
Yeah. So they found out all kinds of stuff like this. Astonishing Research Corps on the Pied Piper, they found out all kinds of information just doing these deep dive researches, going into old, just kept going down the rabbit hole and just finding all this information. But that's what they do.
Yeah.
These volunteers dig that up for them.
I like that.
And it's really, really cool.
There's probably a lot of stuff about stuff we don't know or look at something a different way. And
oh, dude, you know? I'm telling you, if you've never listened to Sonic Legends, and not that our podcast isn't good, but that is just an entirely different level.
Yeah, and it's a cool subject matter that it's very original.
And they do a lot of just deep dive research. Like, I mean, we do like a lot of superficial stuff, but we're also presenting within about a half hour worth of podcasting to an hour.
And it's really just us having a convo. It's not.
It really is.
Don't take this stuff.
There.
Don't take it. You know what I mean? Don't take it. What do they say? Don't take it to the, you know what I mean.
Don't take it too seriously?
Yeah, don't take it too seriously, but don't take it to the bank.
Oh, right, right.
Our
research is superficial. It's meant to be entertainment, to kind of help pique your interest in a topic more than anything.
And there's a lot of our opinion in it, too.
There is.
So.
But something like Astonishing Legends, it's just this notes upon notes upon notes upon notes of information they found. And which is good stuff. Like if you guys want a good deep, the thing is too, is like, you know, like we've done like a series where it's like maybe one or two episodes.
Yeah.
They'll do a series where it might be 2, 3, 4 episodes.
Months worth.
And each episode is like an hour and a half, 2 hours long.
Right.
But if you guys think our tangents are bad, their tangents are way worse.
And some people don't want to listen to 2 hours. You can listen to us, you know, from Edinburgh to Franklin.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're good.
Yeah.
So it's really just whatever. So, I feel like we're defending ourselves. We don't have to defend ourselves.
Yeah.
We're doing what we're doing. Who cares?
We actually, next week, we're going to present, and I'll tell you guys ahead of time because I don't want to be a mystery, and I'm really excited about that. So we've talked about UFOs on the show before.
Yeah.
Several times. But this episode, I because we've talked about disclosure, we've talked about all kinds of stuff when it comes to UFOs, but this story is a little different where we're going to talk about the different theories about who these visitors are, where their origin is. Are they time travelers? Are they future humans who have come back as to visit? Are they really visitors who are extraterrestrial from another galaxy? You know, are they from a different plane of existence?
Did you see that news story where they discovered a radio signal from 9.9 billion light years away?
No.
Huh. I put it on my Facebook. I'll share it with you.
Okay.
Yeah. 9.9 billion years away, a radio signal.
Like that, like an actual radio signal, like a repeating radio signal, or like one from a star?
Yeah, like a repeating radio signal.
Huh.
That right there proves something. You know,
because like star, like because they get radio frequencies.
Let me see if I can find it before I talk. Okay, Okay. Before I talk, let me make sure. Okay, go ahead and keep talking there, bud. I'm going to read.
All right. So, but yeah, that's what the episode next week's going to be about. I'm pretty excited about that because I used not to be a UFO guy, and then Noah got me hooked on this stuff, and now I talk about UFOs all the time. So,
last July, astronomers at MIT detected a persistent signal from a distant galaxy of unknown astrophysical origin, and a mysterious signal from, and in 2020, a mysterious signal from Proxima Centauri. Okay.
Okay.
But do these signals mean we're not alone? The answer is we just don't know.
But see, we've had this discussion
before. We did send a signal back that way, though, just to let them know, hey, we're here if you want to talk, basically.
And it's going to take
billions of years.
Yeah, we're going to be dead by the time they hear it. Yeah. Like the Earth will be dead.
They did say there's not a lot of things in the universe that emit strictly periodic signals. So that means it was created by something. It wasn't just a natural thing.
Right.
So that's kind of freaky.
Which means that that civilization could also be dead.
Probably. It could have been their last save us, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the equivalent looking back in time, 8.8 billion years.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not going to be in any of our lifetimes.
Yeah, and then by the time,
Humans won't even be around by the time it's...
No.
Yeah. Huh.
Speaking of which, did you hear the news story about the Earth's core possibly
stopped spinning? I saw that. That was another one I shared.
Okay.
I said we don't have anything to worry about, though.
No. Because here's the thing.
But how? That's such a big thing.
Well, because that process, if it is true, the process to stop, then reverse, takes thousands of years.
Yeah.
Because the core is a massive, massive object. I read
it stopped spinning. See, right here it says it finds that the inner core has temporarily stopped spinning.
Right.
How was that not affecting us? If it stops spinning.
I don't know.
There's no way that doesn't have an effect on us. There's no way.
Well, see, I remember hearing something that if the core stops spinning and something, it could cause the poles to flip.
Yeah.
The magnetic poles, which if that happens, that could screw us up.
Yeah.
Because everything is on EMF.
But you know what? It says that it stopped spinning a couple days ago, and we're fine. So I guess let's just hope we stay fine.
Yeah.
Maybe it does it more than we think.
Might.
I don't know.
I mean, and how would they know? How are they measuring that?
Like the earthquake way, they measure earthquakes?
I guess. Because I've read several articles and not one of them has discussed how they know that it did what it did. If it did what it did.
Speaking of missing children.
Oh, my God. Dude, I swear it's like our podcast is on ADHD.
Yeah. Huh? We were talking about Pied Piper, but have you seen The Black Phone? The movie?
I've not seen it, no.
Oh, my gosh. It's awesome, dude. I think it's on HBO or Paramount, one of those. Ethan Hawke. It's an awesome movie. It's about missing children. That's what I'm going
to
say.
Dude, a buddy of mine, I think it's on Amazon Prime, too.
Black Phone, it is on Amazon Prime. It's definitely worth a watch. It's awesome.
I'll check that out.
Yeah, it's a great, great movie. But anyway... Noah's ADHD corner.
I mean, which is fine because it was kind of the biggest thing is I definitely felt like we needed to close out the episode because, well, we said we would, because there was like that whole aftermath part that we cut ourselves out on.
What's that?
What?
What do you mean?
From the LA shootout.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I definitely wanted to close it out and finish it up before we moved on to another topic.
It was basically... They had their fun. They got shot and killed, and then the police force changed.
Yeah,
that's basically it.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
there's no lawsuit. Nobody to prosecute. They're dead.
Yeah, I think there was something. Actually, there was a potential lawsuit, if I remember right. Emil, who was shot 29 times in the leg, law enforcement was there while he was dying, and he was still conscious. And I guess EMS tried to arrive on scene. And law enforcement said, back off.
Uh-huh.
So they vacated. And so he never got medical help. And then the family was trying to sue
the police
for wrongful death. But the case was dismissed.
Yeah. Boo-hoo.
Big shock.
They wouldn't have saved him anyway.
No, wouldn't have been able to. No, blink. That's the thing.
29 shots in the legs, dude. You're dead.
Yeah, there's so many.
Your legs are like just, you know.
Yeah, I mean, because like,
cheese.
What hole do you patch first?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you're gonna look for any trauma to the femoral arteries first and try to nip. You know,
but how many multiple traumas were there to that same artery?
Yeah, I mean, because there's no description of that at all.
It's like when you take a hose and just jab holes in it all the way down. You're not going to stop the leak at that point.
No. So he was screwed, and it was what it was.
But anyway.
So I actually was going to ask you, since we were talking. So before, because, I mean, we could talk about it that next week as well. And I think we've actually talked a little bit about it before. So, do you personally believe that these visitors, whatever they are, mm-hmm. are they time travelers, mm-hmm. or are they?
I mean, to a certain extent, if they're coming from another galaxy, they have to be time travelers.
But are they time travelers of us? Are they us from the future who've come back, or are they extraterrestrial?
I believe that extraterrestrial life is way more probable than time traveling. That's what I believe.
Okay.
Just like you would have a colony of ants here that don't know about the colony of ants over in Africa.
Right.
But that doesn't mean they don't exist.
Right.
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 We're just a colony of ants light years away from another colony.
Okay.
That's way more probable to me than time travel. I'm not saying time travel couldn't exist, but it's very, very improbable.
And you know? And the things that they say that's required for time travel is something that it just, we don't have here now.
Right. And it just, time, whether or not it's linear, I don't think we'll ever have the capability to A, understand that, to prove it, to research it, or to even put it in place. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you have back in the day before Einstein, you had most physicists believe that time was absolute.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
linear.
Right.
Yeah.
And then Einstein comes along and says time is relative, which is true. Because,
it is.
Because you have...
not in the way we think, you know?
Well, right. Well, it's relative because time changes with speed.
Right.
So, like, the faster you go, the slower time goes.
Right.
Which is...
You would have to go so fast.
It's a very bizarre concept.
Yeah.
Like, it blew my mind. Like, okay.
Well, like, that's why another galaxy is billions of years ahead of us or behind us or whatever.
Well, there was a book, and I cannot remember the name of the book. It's very adult. So if you're if you got a kid that's like in a sci-fi and he's in middle school, he cannot read this. I mean, I guess if you're very open-minded and he's very mature, because there's a lot of adult themes in it. But it's, I think it's called The Forever War.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, Earth recruits like the brilliant minds to go fight this war of an enemy they don't really know that much of, and they go off to these distant galaxies through wormholes, and then they come back to Earth after they're rotated out, and Earth has already like aged like 20-30 years, but they've only aged like these combatants have only aged maybe a couple years because the wormhole travel,
right?
Because it affects time and space.
It's like Interstellar.
Right.
When he comes back down and the guy's like 27 years older.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They've proven that. There was a pilot.
See, I know that exists.
Right.
I know that exists.
And that's why they...
But I don't think that being able to jump from here back to the Hitler's time is possible. You know what I mean? I don't think that's possible. Once it's already happened, you know how they say you can only go forward... Right? Like you can only a couple minutes you can go forward, but you can't go back to something that's already happened. Because once it happened, that's it.
I mean, I guess it depends. Like,
it just seems it seems a little silly to me.
I think it's an interesting theory. I just don't know how, because there's, like you said, there's so many improbabilities.
Right.
And I think the theory is fun to think of. Like,
it's fun.
I mean, you could do it, if mankind can do it, and then even if mankind could do it, what would be the point?
But also, let's say we had go back in time, and you were an Incan, right? And you see these guys with ruffles and feathers in their hair, and canes and wool, you know, wool hair and all that crap, right?
Right.
Their boots and their gold, and they show up on floating things, and they walk off their floating things, and they're white. And you're thinking, these guys are aliens, right? These guys came from somewhere we don't know.
I think at first, if I remember right, when the Spaniards first came to South America, I do believe originally they thought they were gods.
Yeah. So they think they're from another world.
Right.
Right? Because they've never seen anything close to that.
Right.
And they have no explanation for it.
Right.
So to us, call them aliens, call them time travelers. They're from a different realm. Obviously, they're not from anywhere close to here.
Regardless of...
Yeah. Even if they're time-traveling humans, they're not from here.
Right.
Right? So, you know, it's all the same to me. I don't care what they are, as long as it's like, well, they're not from here.
Right.
You know?
And that's one of the things that we'll talk about next week is, like, these different astrophysicists and other people who speculate what they are. Because obviously there is something, because I mean, yeah, you've seen the footage.
Yeah.
I've seen the footage.
I definitely believe in alien life. I definitely do.
And I think we discussed this part before, because I think science
and
is
people a weird say way. Like, well, God created the earth and just us. But it's like, why would he make trillions upon trillions of billions of other planets and solar systems and just make us? That right. doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
You know? See,
that's always been my thing. And I was actually just about to ask you that.
It's like wasted energy, right?
Yeah. I mean, and that's exactly it. Why waste your time? And that's exactly what I was going to ask you. Like, when we discussed this in a previous episode when we were talking about UFOs, is there was this big question in science, is that if there is an proven fact that these visitors are from a different galaxy.
Right.
Across space and time. And they're like, will that change the way people think about God?
No.
And I'm like, no.
It shouldn't change it.
It shouldn't. And the reason, and here's my theory on it, and it might be the same as yours, because like, well, because
you say know, your I, theory and I'll say okay. if it matches mine.
Because I've heard people say, well, if there's aliens, why aren't they in the Bible? Because it's not their story.
Exactly. It doesn't concern you.
No, you don't.
You know?
Right. And my thing is, it's like, okay, all right. So, all right. It's like, okay, you have Harry Potter, right?
Right.
Harry Potter, presumably, these wizards know about Star Wars, right? They know Star Wars exists.
Yeah.
George Lucas created Star Wars. It's not a separate universe. It happened on Earth and in relatively present day. But J.K. Rowling never mentions Star Wars in the Harry Potter universe. Why? Because it's not relevant to the story.
Yeah.
So she's not just going to say, oh, by the way, Harry Potter really likes watching Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's not relevant to anything at all in the story. Doesn't play any important part. So in the Bible, it's literally telling a story chronologically of basically the ancestry of Jesus up to his birth.
Yeah, I mean, according to God, it's like, I wrote this book for you. You are on this earth. You're not getting off this earth. It doesn't matter what else is out there. This is for you. You don't need to know any more than that.
Right.
Right? Like that's, you know.
Because, yeah, I mean, there's no reason. I'm God's a pretty smart guy.
And for him, it's like, I don't have to answer to you.
Bingo.
You know?
And my thing is there's no reason to convolute the story, to muddy the water.
Right.
No reason.
Exactly.
And because what would be the point?
Yeah.
No, go on. It's wrong.
Like, why didn't you tell us that you made others? It's like, because you're so insignificant, it doesn't matter if you know or not.
Right.
You know? And it's probably the same way with the other creatures. Yeah, you're advanced. You're more advanced than us, but you're still so significant in the whole amount of things, like in the universe as a whole.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Right. That's why they're looking for us, because they don't know we're here.
I mean, I think because I do think that sentient beings, and I don't think it's just us, is I think any sentient being would be bent on exploration.
Yeah.
Because curiosity, I think, is very important to consciousness.
Well, exploration and curiosity doesn't pay the phone bill.
Well, no.
You know what I mean?
Well,
but if you're due for resources, that's when you go out and get stuff.
Well, yes right? and no. But my thing is, too, is like when you look at like exploration, okay, like, okay, perfect example. Okay, Sir Edmund Hillary, you know, he climbed Everest, right? They didn't climb Everest just because, you know, it was good for resources because there's nothing there but snow and ice. It was the desire to explore.
It was the ego of, I want to be the one that did it.
Yeah. So right? I think sentience is...
But do you think if aliens are coming all the way here, they're going to be friendly?
I don't think it's all malicious, but I don't think it's all...
It might not start out malicious.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Well, I don't think... I think... It's hard to tell, but I think sentience, you have... I mean, look at mankind. We're the same way. There's good and there's bad. You got people that would love to explore space just to explore space.
That's true.
And get out there and see what's up.
That's true.
And you have other people that would be megalomaniacs.
It'd be like Avatar or every other alien movie. It's like once we discover the aliens, we're going to keep one captive and study it and all that.
Right.
Right? They would do the same to us probably.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have – there are certain – and not to make it into a Star Wars or Star Trek thing, but I'm sure there are most likely very aggressive, violent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Star Trek dealt with a lot of real issues,
right?
You know, like a lot of real issues.
I think there are some, there would be some species out there that are bent on war and conquering. And I think there are others who are not so much.
Yeah, I mean, they might have, if they have all this advanced technology, they're probably not going to worry about our little planet and just our little idiot selves. They're not going to worry about taking us out or anything. They might just fly by and say, oh, that's cool.
So what about the theory? And I think it's an interesting theory. And obviously, my Christian beliefs don't really align up with this. I just think it's a fun theory to think about. That we're not actually native to this world. That
like a Scientologist. That's basically what they believe.
Sort of. Well,
they're not
the original ones to think so.
No, I know it was before that, but they're the most modern religion that believes that.
Well, I mean, not even religion. It's unfortunately,
is merit to that belief.
Right.
I mean, it's not an unfounded belief.
Well, no, because like people who believe that we're transplants, their big thing is if we're native to this planet, why are we sick?
Yeah. Why does everything make us so sick all the time?
Why does everything make us sick?
Why do we have allergies?
Right.
Yeah.
Because if we're native to it, it would...
Why do we not look like any of the other species on this planet either? Why are we so different than them?
Well, I mean...
You know?
Yeah, right. But there's also the other species that through DNA, we're actually very closely related to.
True. So there's your counter argument
right
there.
Now, I do find... One of the things I do find interesting is that... And I think it's kind of a popular fringe theory. Like you have octopus. There are a lot of people, even scientists, that think the octopus is a alien.
It's actually octopussy.
No.
In plural.
No, it's not. But you know, they do. You know, you know how many times I've seen scientists though, like in different articles, they'll say octopuses and they're octopi.
Octopi.
Like they can't even agree on the plural, yeah, which I think is hilarious. And
nobody wants to say octopussy. That was a James Bond movie. Who cares?
But I think it's an interesting theory that octopuses, octopi, whatever you want to call them,
yeah,
is an actual alien species. Like that's a theory.
And they're smart.
They're killer smart.
They're very, very smart.
Like they're
territorial. They love their young. They nurture their young.
Their problem solving skills are extraordinary.
Yep. They're problem solving. So
they actually say that if you have an octopus as a pet, that you have to keep it constantly engaged or it gets bored and tries to get out of the aquarium.
They got big brains.
They do. But
it's crazy.
Dude, they're nuts.
Have you ever seen one like when there's a crack and they'll suck all the air out of themselves and just right into the crack?
Yeah.
It's so creepy, dude.
That's the thing is like there's these I mean this marine creature has so many special characteristics.
Mm-hmm.
And people go and because
it looks like an alien.
It does. Well, yeah, it looks alienistic and then it's got this advanced problem-solving skill almost no other animal on the face of the planet, whether on land or sea, has. Like, it rivals primates other than us. Like, they even have the ability to learn and adapt to tool work.
Yeah.
Like, how to use certain things to get what they want. How to
they
crack open shells.
They can grab onto things with their
Like they had, they were showing one where an octopus picked up like an ocean rock and used it to beat on a crab to open it up.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
So I think
I don't like them.
Just like I don't like
them. I don't like them, dude. They do taste delicious, though. Have you ever had octopus?
I have not. I've had squid.
Octopus is good.
Really?
Yeah.
If I say, well, you know what? I mean, I'm open-minded to a lot of cuisine.
It's similar to squid.
Is it?
It's a little, I think it's a little bit better.
Really?
But yeah, it's good.
See, I would eat it.
Anyway, but so yeah,
there you go. Like the we used to do episodes like this all the time. We used to free ball.
We're free balling,
and they were a lot of fun. But
not everything has to be planned. We might do more of them, or we're just chatting.
I was kind of hoping that we would do this after we closed out the episode.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
because it has been so long since we've done it.
I'm fine with it,
but. But yeah, so next week for sure we're going to discuss in depth the possible origin stories of the UFO visitors and what these different scientific models.
Oh, I do have a question for you though.
Okay.
If an alien species came to us and they were going to try to take our goods, what resource do you think they would come after first?
Water. Absolutely.
Because it's the rarest thing in the universe.
Well, it's I don't think it's necessarily the rarest, but it is the most to almost any biological
every living
life
thing
form,
needs water, basically.
Yeah, I mean, some need it more than others.
Yeah.
But if you are I would imagine, because I mean that's the thing, is like there is not a single mineral on this earth that is special to the universe.
Yeah.
It's all
universal. I mean, some planets have oceans made of methane.
Right. Like, and we have that.
Liquid versions of methane,
exactly.
Right? Yeah.
There was just actually a meteorite that fell to Earth, and it's not necessarily a new mineral, but it's a combination of two different ones.
Yeah.
But because we've never discovered it as a meteorite before, the scientists went
freaky.
Bizarre. They just went berserk over
it. So much out there, dude.
But
gosh.
But we've actually created it here before it actually landed here.
Yeah.
So scientists are like, oh, we just didn't create that out of the thin blue. That actually happens in nature, or at least in the cosmos somewhere. Because they have no idea where it came from.
It's crazy to think how much is out there that you don't know. Right. And it terrifies you at the same time thinking about it.
Well, yeah.
Because it's like, it's limitless, dude.
I would say if it was an alien species that actually was on the hunt for resources, I think water would probably be the main one.
Water. Or hydrogen.
I mean, yeah, because I mean,
that's a necessity of water.
Well,
right?
Well, hydrogen is a necessity for anything.
Pretty much anything. Oxygen and,
I mean, carbon is the most prolific mineral resource in the universe. I mean, it is everything. It is the building block for all matter.
I always wondered that if they came down, what would they look for first? It wouldn't be gold or silver. It wouldn't be something monetary. You know, it would be
gold and silver for mankind has been mostly because we believe it to have value.
Yeah, and it really doesn't
because it's so rare. It's
right.
Really, gold and silver and platinum and diamonds it follows the laws of supply and demand.
See, that's the thing. If you're talking about value, only gold and silver only has value to humans. Water has value to every living being.
Well, I don't know, because it depends on what that gold and silver, if they can find a use for it.
But we're the only species that seek it out.
Well, on Earth, yes.
Yeah. Right. I mean, for all you know, like an alien being could use it to coal burn their spaceship. Like you throw a chunk of gold in there and who knows, right?
Because I mean, we use gold in computers.
But what you're saying with water, whether it's monetary value or life-giving value, every species needs water, period. Yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's not a species out there that doesn't need it.
Not that I could think of.
Yeah. So that would be the most valuable thing.
I would think it'd be water.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
and water, it could be an energy power, a source. It can be.
Oh, yeah. Hydropower is a real thing.
Electrical source. It could be pretty much anything.
I mean, Hoover Dam is a
water-powered
hydroelectrical dam.
Yep.
Well, I mean, think about it. I mean, look at all the pictures we have from Mars. and look at all those dried up riverbeds.
Yeah.
I mean, and not only that, but on both of Mars's poles is water, but it's froze, it's ice.
Yeah.
But Mars has two polar ice caps, and it's water. It is absolutely water. They've proven it. It is water. So at one point, Mars had water, flowing water on its surface.
What's the prettiest planet?
The prettiest? Yeah. In our solar system?
Yeah, just the prettiest little planet. I'm a Neptune guy.
See, I think Neptune is a gorgeous planet, and then you realize what's going on the surface, and you're like, right. Holy crap.
What is it?
Isn't it like raining glass all the time?
Let me check. Let's do that. Let's make this episode a little longer. Okay. Neptune. I'm going to look up Neptune.
Or is that Pluto I'm thinking of?
Neptune is the eighth planet and the furthest known planet. It's the fourth largest planet. It doesn't say.
I think Neptune is raining glass, if I remember right.
Oh, I'll find it out. Hold on, guys. Neptune's about four times the size of Earth. It's got a short day and a long year. It's a big ball of ice, just ice and gas. And it's got rings that are invisible. So it's got ice rings that are invisible. That's freaky, dude.
Well, I guess if you hit that, you're screwed.
Yeah. 30 times as far from the sun as Earth. A year on Neptune is 164 Earth years. It's an ice giant, and it's got five rings that are invisible. Wow. That's crazy, dude.
There is a planet that I am thinking of. Uranus. Maybe it's Uranus.
Or Venus, maybe?
No, I don't think it's Venus.
I think Venus is all gas, pretty sure. Okay, so Uranus?
I think Uranus, it was either Uranus has got to be the one I'm thinking of, because it's the
fourth largest planetary mass. Okay. We're going to go to facts here. That says Neptune. That's not Neptune. Uranus is about the same size as Neptune.
Yes.
Uranus's surface is an ice giant. It doesn't have a solid surface,
right?
But it's a gaseous atmosphere with liquid layers. So it's like it's almost like a bouncy ball with gas inside. You cannot walk or land on the planet's surface because you'll simply sink in, just like Jupiter. Uranus is also freezingly cold. Wow. How does it stay together? Gravity?
Basically the mass of it.
But you think over time it would just dissipate eventually, right? Well,
that's the thing, is if you think about how mass works, the greater the mass of something is, the greater its gravitational pull. So, like, that's why the moon has lesser gravity than Earth, because moon has less mass.
You know what?
But you got Jupiter and Saturn, and they're massive planets, and their gravitational pull is exponentially more than Earth's.
It's weird how, like, a gas ball can have a gravitational pull.
Well, the sun does.
You know? Yeah. But the sun has also got a core of rock, like metal, that is just so dense.
Well, I mean, it's all molten.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, would a gas planet have a core that's, like, hard?
Shouldn't. I don't think so. Well, maybe. I don't know.
There's got to be something there, like a rubber band ball. There's got to be something in the middle there, right?
Not necessarily solid. It doesn't have. I mean, think about a nebulous. I mean, that's mostly just cosmic dust and.
Uranus is one sexy planet, though. Look at that thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like a big blue marble.
That thing is beautiful. I would live there. No, I wouldn't.
Well, you couldn't.
I would die. Anyway, I know this is like this is good for people who are watching the podcast, but I'd say Neptune and Saturn. Except they're
not filming it.
Yeah, right. Look it up on your phone, guys. Neptune and Saturn are cool.
Also, since we're in a space fit today, did you know that the big red storm, big red spot, is actually getting smaller?
On the sun?
No.
What big red spot?
Is it Jupiter? You know, the big red storm?
I'm just now hurting a big red spot.
Are you serious?
Oh, the big red storm.
Yeah, the big red storm. It's actually shrinking.
Really?
Yes.
What's that mean for us?
Nothing.
Nothing. It just means that they're going through some shit. The Great Red Spot is a persistent high-pressure region in the atmosphere of Jupiter.
Yeah.
Producing an anti-cyclonic storm. Huh.
Yeah, it's actually getting smaller.
Could you imagine being in the middle of that storm, dude?
Yeah, it is an ever-present storm. But the crazy thing of it is it's actually shrinking.
Gosh. Just a storm that never ends. That right there is probably proof that there is no life on that Earth, on that planet.
Oh, here it is. So this report came out in 2018 in National Geographic. So an excerpt of it says, so when will it disappear entirely? Talking about the Great Red Spot. Truth is, scientists have no idea. But if you measure the rate at which the Great Red Spot has been shrinking and extrapolate linear from that, it looks like the spot will vanish completely in about 70 years. And this comes from NASA, and this was published in 2018. So most of us will be dead by the time it disappears.
1,000 Earths could fit in the Big Red Spot.
Yeah.
Wow. So, and that's just a tiny speck on Jupiter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's insane, dude. I mean, this stuff blows my mind. Space is wonderful.
And scary.
And scary. Awesome. Very scary.
So,
just imagine. And that's, I think, why that storm is lasting longer is because Jupiter's days are longer. And its cycle is longer, so that storm is going to last way longer.
Well, your atmosphere is different than ours.
And the atmosphere.
I mean,
but also time is different there.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean,
you know?
It's time is different, but I mean, you know, the laws of physics still are the same. I say it like there's people there. Jupiter has a different atmosphere. It's different makeup than Earth. Like we live on a planet where storms aren't like this one constant thing.
Right.
Moving across the surface.
But our atmosphere recycles faster over a 24-hour period. So the storms cycle through faster over a 24-hour period.
Right. But I mean, like I said,